Woo! How's everybody today? Man, you guys look great, even though I can't see you. It's wonderful. I'm not going to go there. All right, man, we're glad you guys are here. I got so excited last week, since it was our first service, it was great, by the way. I had about 180 people total in the building all around, and just a blessing. And, can we just give God just one more hand of praise? Come on, y'all. Let's give him good. I don't know, man. I'm just so honored that I get to serve with you guys and serve in the kingdom of God, that we get to be his children. And I love it when it's funny, because we practice certain things and things kind of come into play and they kind of come together. And then Rachel came this morning and we practiced a little bit about how we're going to do that little transition into what I do. You can't practice emotion, can you, sis? You can't practice it. You can't practice and you can't predict what's about to happen in your life. You can't predict that in the moment today that I'm going to speak or say something, or the music just said something, or someone else in the building said something to you. You can never, ever predict what God's going to do. And about the time you start trying to predict what God's going to do, he throws you a curve, right? And you don't understand, oh, where did this come from? What's happening with this? And you don't know how God's working in that until you start to see the out of that. And so I just want you to go with God and just understand that this is a journey that somebody said, I love what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. You never know for God what you're doing. You may do something in a moment and the person goes, oh my goodness, God just worked in my life. And you go, I don't know. What did I do? I don't have a clue. I don't know what I did. That's how powerful and amazing our God is. Some of you in this room today are hurting over things. Some of you may be struggling with the topic I'm going to be talking about, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Before I do, I don't want to get too excited like I did last week and forget to say a couple things. After our dismissal last week, it was like people walking around with checks they didn't know what to do with. Where do we put our tithes? Somebody actually put their tithe in the mailbox outside. That was good, because I didn't even have a key to that mailbox yet, so that was fun. And I did find the key and we got the check out. It was all good. But if you'll, as you're today, when you're exiting the room, if you look on the back, not now, don't look back now, but remember Lot's wife, right? Sorry. I say that sometimes just to check who knows their Bible, right? Who knows their Bible? But when you, there's two little black boxes on the wall back here in the back. Those are for your tithes afterwards. We don't say a whole lot about the tithes and offerings. We expect our partners to give, and we teach the principle of the tithe. And offerings as well. And so we expect that to happen. So we don't say a whole lot about it during our service. Also, I want to make mention that during our worship time, I don't know if you noticed it or not, we have four people that are standing out on the wings that have little tags on their shirt. These, we have a lot of people on our prayer team, but those are people that are designated for certain Sundays. And even during the worship, during a song or maybe something, whatever's happening in the service, sometimes you feel like you want to pray like right then. You don't want to wait till the end or wait till a special moment or anything like that. And that's what they're there for. They're worshiping. You're not going to disturb them if you just walk up and say, hey, I need to pray right now. Right now in this moment, I need to pray. And so take advantage of that. We hope you'll do that. And the more we get used to kind of that thing happening in the room, the more people are going to take advantage of it, because I can sense that I know there are times in my life when I need prayer, like right then. I don't want to wait till, you know, end of anything. I want to go right then. And so do take advantage of that if you would. And so that's the two things I forgot to talk about last week. We'll be mentioning those along the way. And guys, this is a process, man. We're not used to getting to worship at like 8 o'clock in the morning for a rehearsal and worship until 10, and we're just all wondering around, what do I do? I don't know what to do, you know. And usually by now we're in our second service. And hey, let me just go ahead and tell you guys, if you look around the room right now, we're about 70% full. So just don't get used to one service for very long. It's not going to be here very long, okay? So hey, and that's a good thing. Thanks for applauding that. We're excited about it. And the reason is because when people walk into a room and there's not any place for them to sit, they're not going to stay. That's just statistically true. And they don't feel comfortable just walking into a full room and going, where am I going to sit? Where am I going to sit? And our hospitality team works hard to now just kind of guide people in. And we have a few empty seats, but we want them full. So as it gets full, we will move to two service to empty the room so that we can fill it up again. And we'll do that till the Lord leads us out of this building, okay? And people that have worked on this building all during August are thinking, this is temporary? What are you talking about? Absolutely, I believe it. I believe it is, and I believe the more we grow. And here's the thing. Rachel's already said it, but I want you to focus on this for just a second. The bigger we are, the more important it's going to be for us to be small. And what I mean by that is the more people we have in this room in the morning, the less comfortable people are going to feel like getting to know people in this room. So that's why it is imperative. It is imperative for you to plug into a small group. I don't care if it's one or two or 10 or 12, but plug into a group that's smaller so that you can grow intimately closer to each other. She said it. I said it. I'll probably say it again. I know I'm going to say it again in my notes because I've got it written down to say it again. We say it a lot, so much so that some people get like, what do you keep talking about that for? It's just that important. It's just that important. God didn't save you as a person. He saved us as a people, and he wants us to be together. He put us together. That's what church is. Church isn't something I have to go to. It's something I get to be a part of. It's I get to be part of the body of Christ. God, he called me to be his son, y'all. You're his son or daughter, and you're the daughter of God. And we do this because we want to. We get to. And it's a, I'm sorry, I'm getting all tore up already. But listen, it's all real. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Can y'all help me say hello to our online group? Hey, everybody. Good morning to you. I point to that little camera back there and point. We've been doing that a long, long time, and there are people that watch from all over. Some are here today because they saw online and decided to come. There's nothing like being in person, though, man. There's just nothing like being in the room. So when you can get here, come and be a part. And until you can, please join us every week online and be a part of our church that way. Hey to my brother. He's over in Georgia. He's a big Auburn fan, and they didn't play till 10:30 his time last night. 10:30. He's in Eastern time. He said, man, I may have to watch the recording this week or whatever. So, but anyway, I appreciate it. We spent a lot of money years ago to get online. And somebody said, man, we're going to spend that much money? And I said, if it'll connect one person to Jesus, then I'm ready to spend the money. Let's just do it. And we did. It's been a real blessing to our church. And I appreciate that. So welcome. We're glad you guys are here. I'm starting a brand new series that's going to last quite a while. I think it's 8 messages or so. And we've never done one this long before, but we're going to because I think we kind of skipped last year. And so it's called You Asked For It. And literally the messages I'm going to preach from are from a survey that we gave you guys. And what would you like to hear about? And these are the most popular answers. They're not in the order of the most popular. So, you know, wait on your time. It's coming, okay? And today we're going to talk about a topic called burnout. Everybody say burnout. Can I just get a show of hands in the group? How many of you feel like you've ever suffered from burnout? Come on, everybody. Look across the room. How many of you feel like you're in it right now? Some of you feel like you're in it right now. All right. See, here's the thing. How many of you would be honest enough to say, I've never experienced burnout? Come on, see hands. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Nobody has said it because they don't really know. How many of you are just not hand raisers? Nobody raised their hand. That's funny. That's a Tim Hawkins joke. I wish I thought of that. But really, the first time I experienced true, real, for sure enough burnout, I didn't even know I was in it. And I just remember I was so busy. I was doing youth ministry at the time, and it was near the ending of my youth ministry years. And I just remember spending a year of my time trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I didn't know what was happening. And what had happened is I had made myself so busy in ministry and work and family and going and moving and running that my body was saying to me, you need to stop, like now. Like now. And what I learned was that I was actually burned out on doing youth ministry. And I never thought that would happen in my life. Because I thought once, I was a youth minister for 20 years, and I thought once I started that, I'd always be a leader of students. And I still am, but just in a different way. And I just remember going into our minister's office at the time, and I walked in, I said, man, I got to talk to somebody. This is driving me bananas. I don't know what's going on with me. And he spoke into my life, and he said, I don't want to lose you as a youth minister, but you're burned out. You're burned out, and you're burned up, and you need to be preaching, is what he said to me. And I was like, what? But you're the preacher here. And what he was saying was, you need to go away and preach somewhere else. And he meant that in a very good way. And it wound up putting me in a position where I was forced in my mind to do something different. And if you're experiencing burnout, and if you're in that particular part of your life, or you feel like you're going into it, or the more I talk, you're going to see some symptoms in a minute of it, and you may say, well, that's just like me. And you see that, you have to do something about it. You have to do something about it. And you may be stuck where you can't do everything you want to do about it, but you got to do something about it. And I'm going to talk about that today. It's being overwhelmed to the point that you do not feel you can function in a normal way. that you don't feel like you're good at anything, that you feel like you're just, you've lost at every part of your world, even if you're not losing. Even if you're not losing. And it's hard sometimes because you don't actually know that you're in it. You need to recognize it. Here's some symptoms and ways that you can see that. These will be on the screen, but they're not in your notes. So if you're a note taker, you might want to flip over on the back and write these down. You might want to know these. And so those little pieces of paper can only hold so much. So the first thing that people start, well, not first, but one of the things that people start doing when they burn out is they begin to trickle out. Now, what that means is that, you know, trickle just starts as a drip, right? And then before long, it's a pour, and then it's a gush, right? So it starts from a very small thing to a large thing. And people in church settings, they just begin kind of, well, you know, my heart's just not in it anymore. My heart's just not there anymore. And they say things like that. And that might be true, by the way. But what might be true about that is that it could be true, but it could be the enemy putting that in your head to get you out of doing what God's called you to do. Another thing people do is they stop talking about their goals. You ever gotten to a point in your life where you thought, well, man, I just don't have any more goals. I don't have anything else. What else is there to do? You know, you may be experiencing burnout when you stop seeing the things that you feel like you're called to do. Talk a little more about that later. And then some people in burnout begin to justify bad behavior. So when I'm in burnout, my medication sometimes if I'm in burnout is food. And I will eat anything I want to eat and all of what I want to eat until I'm sick. And that is a sin, y'all. That is a sin to put yourself in that situation. And I would justify, man, I'm hurting so bad. And food's not a sin, so I'm just going to eat. And whatever it is, you can put porn in the blank of that. You can put anger in the place of that. You can put work, by the way. You can become a workaholic and say, you know what, I can't do anything else. I'm just going to pour myself all into work, and that's all I'm going to do. And you begin to justify doing things that you know aren't good for you. And that's one of the things that happens when people begin to experience burnout. Another thing is they start comparing what they're doing to other people. Do it all the time, man. And it's so tempting as a small church to look around and go, man, we're just a little church. And I used to say, we're just meeting in this little building. We're not doing that anymore. We're meeting in a much bigger place. It's great. But you tend to think and start thinking, I'm little, I'm small, I'm not compared to somebody else. Why are they so successful and I'm not? Why is it that they get to do such and such, but I don't get to? And by the way, you guys who are serving in church, if one of the things that we tend to do is we go, and Paul experienced this in Corinth when he wrote about the spiritual gifts, and some people say, well, I wish I could stand up there and sing, or I wish I could do this thing or whatever. And I talked to you guys about that last week a little bit, about the difference between being significant and being prominent. Everybody's significant. The prominence is maybe me standing up here. This looks prominent, but I'm no more significant than you are. And you have to get that out of your head. And when you're in burnout, when you get suffering with burnout, oftentimes you start comparing yourself to what other people are doing and wishing you could be like them, when God made you for who you are. You know, we hear it in our culture all the time, just believe in yourself. That's hogwash. The Greek word for that is baloney. All right, so it is. You don't believe in yourself. You believe in the God who made you like you are. And there's a difference in those two things. And our culture is all about ourselves. Well, I just don't. And everything is measured by ourselves. If I don't feel like it, I don't. If I feel like it, I do. We run our lives by our feelings. And I'm preaching to me. And so much of burnout happens because we get caught up in our emotions. Did you hear about what that song said? I'm caught up in his presence. That's where I want to be caught up. I looked at Liz a few nights ago, this was like a couple nights ago, and I just said, I just want peace. I just want to have peace. I want to quit worrying about what's happening over here and what's happening over here and what's happening over here, because it can cause burnout when all that stuff starts happening on us and we have to get ourselves centered back where it needs to be. And then the final thing I'm listing here, and there's probably more, is when you start experiencing burnout, you make everything about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. I see people, I hear this in church so many times. People say, well, it's just not meeting my needs. We're not here to meet your needs. God didn't put you on the planet so he can meet your needs. We're here to serve him. And we have a goal and a purpose and a movement that we're moving into, and I'm sorry that we're a church that talks about serving and church about small groups and church about all these things that we talk about, and that's just where we're focused. You can find churches all over the place that are good churches. We're not the best. We don't claim to be the best. We've got a lot of questions, and we think we've answered some of them, but we don't claim to be any better than anybody else. We're just different. But there's a lot of places you can go, y'all. You can go and just hide. And the bigger we get, the more tempting it's going to be for you to walk in here and sit on Sunday morning and hide. And when that happens, you're going to start feeling this spiritual burnout. Some of these things, you'll begin to trickle out. You'll begin to think it about yourself, and it's all about, well, I just want what's best for me and my family. I got to have what's best for me and my family. When someone walks into the church, and the first thing they start asking me, and by the way, we have a great student ministry. We have a great children's ministry. We have wonderful, you experienced worship this morning. I feel like we focus ourselves on God, and we do some things pretty well. But when you come into a church looking for, like you do, like when you go to y'all remember cafeterias? Yeah, some of the young people are going, what's a cafeteria? I don't know what that is. You walk into a room, and they got this smorgasbord of food laid out, and you go, I'll have some of that, and I'll have a little of this, and I want some of that, and give me some of that. But don't give me that, and I don't want any of that, and I don't want any of that. I remember as a kid, man, going to, I forgot what the place was called, but we'd go on Sunday mornings, and they had the best hamburger steak in the world, and just, man, they get this food, and I want some of this and this and this, but don't give me any of that broccoli or any of that asparagus. I don't want that stuff. And I want that. We pick and choose. And people are doing that with church. Amen. Doing it with church. And I'll be honest with you. There's some places you're going to feel more connected than places you might feel connected. You may feel more connected here than you would somewhere else. Or somebody else may feel less connected here than somewhere else. That ain't the point. I'm not the point. God is. And so whether you got stained glass and organs and a choir loft, or you've got contemporary and lights and some smoke, somebody asked me when we're going to get a smoke machine. I said, I don't know. We might. You know, whatever. I don't know. We'll do whatever we can short of sin to try to connect somebody to God. And doing this, I had a guy tell me one time, he walked into our church, and he said, man, this looks more like a club than it does a church. And I said, yeah. So I hope the people who are in the clubs on Saturday night, if they ever want to find Jesus, they'll walk in here and feel super comfortable. And the people that are looking for high church and want to go to a place where there's stained glass and organs, God bless them. I kind of miss a little bit of that four-part harmony a cappella from the Church of Christ. Come on, my Church of Christ people. I miss some of that stuff. But it ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's about what are we doing to connect people to God. And y'all can tell what doesn't burn me out. That does not burn me out trying to find ways that we can find one more person for Jesus. That doesn't burn me out at all. It excites me. It invigorates me. And that's where I want you to be. And we all get, and a lot of you are, but if we all get in that vein all at the same time, y'all know what the synergy of this place can actually do for Jesus Christ? And not just this place, but all over this community. All over this community. Okay, back to my sermon. How are we going to defeat burnout? How are we going to defeat it? First thing you're going to do is you got to keep the vision in front of you. If you want to defeat burnout in your life, you have to keep the vision in front of you. And I want to say, by the way, right here too, all these points work for any level of anything you're doing. If you run a business and you're feeling burned out, maybe you've lost sight of the vision of what your business is in the world for. And when that happens, you can start experiencing some burnout of your own. You've got to know your what. No, you've got to know your why, okay? You've got to know your why. Why do we exist? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. We're doing this for God, not men. You see, the why keeps you focused on the real issues at hand, and the why keeps us moving forward even when you don't feel like it. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Now turn to the other neighbor that you ignored when you did that time and tell them, you don't look like you feel like it either. Y'all, if you wait until you feel like losing weight, you are not going to lose weight. Amen. And I just don't feel like it right now. If you wait till you feel like coming to worship, you're going to probably not show up much. Because our feelings are always going to battle against our spiritual nature until we get those things lined up. If you wait till you feel like praying, If you wait till you feel like singing or worshiping or whatever, sometimes I have to worship my way out of a bad feeling. You just got to start worshiping. And it's like, oh, Lord, I'm going to sing, okay, you know? And you sing, and before long you find yourself praising and honoring your God. Listen, we exist for four things. We want people to find a relationship with God. That's what this service is about. We want people to find freedom from their past. We want you to get set free from your past. That's why we do small groups. It's where you find freedom. It's when you get into a place where you can look at somebody and say, you know what? I'm struggling with X, whatever it is. And or they say it, and you go, you know what? I struggle with the same thing. I know exactly how you feel. And you begin to create relationship so that you can find purpose. Do you know it's hard to find your future if you've not gotten rid of your past? Amen. It's hard to get past it. And the beautiful thing that God does is he erases your past. The scripture says, he don't remember it ever again. Some people might bring it up to you, but he don't. And the reason we do all of those things is so we can make an impact on the world. You will never, ever, ever, I don't think you'll be completely fulfilled until some of you already are, making an impact on somebody else. You know, as a parent, when you teach your children, like right now, Warren's learning how to walk. And so I wonder if in his little mind he goes, will y'all just stop, please? Because it's almost everywhere he goes, he gets propped up and come on, come on, come on, come on. And he never gets there. And it's got to be so frustrating. But that moment when those little feet start doing this, you know, and he falls, it's the most beautiful, like, satisfying thing. And there are people all around us, y'all. Everywhere we go, everywhere we are, it's like wondering, you know, COVID's kind of going again kind of thing. You wonder, is somebody sitting next to me got COVID? Which what we need to be thinking about is somebody next to me got Jesus? I wonder if they know who Christ is. That person you met yesterday in the line of wherever you were, and you're just talking away, did you ever say to them, do you know Christ? Did you ever try to steer the conversation that way or whatever? You see, we're so focused, and right now it's all football. Da, 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 da. Finally, Bama fans can say, we got beat before the 10th game of the season, all right? Y'all can clap that if you want to. It's all right. It's just prepared us to be better the rest of the season. But those kind of things, we'd rather sit around and talk about those things than really opening our lives up for people for Christ. And by the way, we can use those things to talk about Jesus. Amen. So use every place you can so that you can make an impact. Man, find the vision. We have to keep the vision in front of us. Whatever your vision is for God, you've got to keep that in front of you and keep it forward and moving forward. And number two, you've got to give yourself away. Give yourself away. When I say give yourself away, it's almost like I'm saying, I'm burned out, I'm so tired, I can't do such and such, and you're asking me to do something else? You're asking me to go somewhere else or do something else? No, I'm not asking you that at all. I'm asking you to give up and start giving yourself away. Here's what Scripture says. I love Romans 12. Romans 12 is a very practical chapter in the Bible where he's talking a lot about how to do some of this stuff he's been talking about. And Eugene Peterson paraphrased it this way. He says, don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the master. Cheerfully expectant. Did you hear that? We're expecting something. Cheerfully. Don't quit in hard times and pray all the harder. When the times get hard and you don't want to pray, that's when you need to be praying more and more and more and more and more and more. And calling out and crying out to God. Help the needy Christians and be inventive in hospitality. I like that. He's saying basically in that whole chapter, find ways in which you can actually go out and love somebody and be good to people. Amen. And it can be small or big or whatever it is. Yesterday, I had to take something back to Hobby Lobby that we had bought that didn't fit. And I'm standing in this long line, and I finally get up to the register, and the lady, I said, I need to return this. And she said, I don't do returns. That's when you find out right then how close to Jesus you really are. And I said, I just went like this. I said, oh, really? Really? And this lady is standing at the refund. By the way, the big sign over the registers that say refunds here. Anyway, so that tells a little bit about me. I'm just wanting to get in the shortest line. And so she's standing there. She's got a baby in her arm, one in a buggy, and she's talking to this lady about having five children. She said two of them are bipolar, three of them have attention deficit disorder and some behavioral diseases and all these things. And the little baby she was holding had this huge knot right on the forehead of this child. And y'all, this lady was just so kind and smiling and just happy. She said she homeschooled all five of her kids. And I told her, I said, you still got all your hair. Look at there. That's crazy. And she laughed. And she said, I love having the freedom of being able to be with my kids. And then if we want to go on a vacation, we go on a vacation. And some of those things that she loved the freedom of. Anyway, my story ends this way. She looked at me and she said, why don't you go? She had like 16 or 20 clothes that she was trying to check out. She was going to be there a while. And she said, hey, let him go in front of me. He's got one little item and he just needs to return. And it happened. I thought, what a kind thing. She didn't have to do that. But that's just one little thing that sensed to me that this lady was had to be a believer. Come on. You know, that's not the kind of kindness you have from people who don't know Jesus. And I just love that. Give yourself away. Not talking about putting more stuff on your plate. I'm talking about helping people. And when that starts happening, you serve others. That's why God built us, really. Y'all know we teach around here big time that if God gives you something, it's meant to be given away. And so whatever it is, whether it's money or resources or talents or energy or whatever it is, it's meant to be given away. And so give that away to others. If you want to get out of burnout, number three, you got to listen to the right voices. And by voices, I simply mean influences in your life. It can be people, it can be actual voices, but it's influences in your life. And listen, most influences are influences that we allow into our life. Yep. Now, I will say that it's probably, especially young people, sometimes they don't have a choice about, kind of what they've been given in the world. It's not really allowed. They don't want it, but they've been given a particular circumstance or situation. But most of us who have things in our life that are burning us out are things that we've allowed into our life, whether it's too much of whatever it is. And so we have to run from influences that drag us down. We have to run from those things. Scripture says it this way, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And he says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. What is that for you? I know what it is for me, what it is for you. It can be different for everybody, but we have these senses, these ideas that there are certain things that trip us up. And what the Hebrew writer is trying to get us to understand is you've got to strip all of that away. Take it all away. And sometimes we complicate our lives so much that we literally need to erase all of it before we start putting anything back in. And that is so hard to do in our culture that says we got to accomplish and you got to go and you got to be and you got to do all of these things. We cannot allow outside influences to create walls between us and Jesus. And that's what's happening in our lives so often. And y'all, that blank can be filled in with anything. And I sometimes get really nervous about making lists because I can't relate to your situation. Can we just kill this mic and we get a handheld? Let's do that. Awesome. And so the distractions are things that take our eyes off of what's actually most important. How many times have you seen somebody at a dinner table and they got their phone out and their kid's trying to talk to them across the table and they're not paying a bit of attention to what really needs to be happening in that moment. I think the enemy has tried to do that in our lives. And what happens is the good things get filtered out. So we are so busy and our life is going so fast and everything is going so much that we don't have time to read the Bible. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I don't want to meet Jesus one day and say, well, you know, Lord, I just didn't have time to read your word. I didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time to worship. Listen, I heard I think it was Jamaican or something, and he was so excited about teaching Jesus, and he walks up to this guy and he says, I want to tell you about Jesus, my Jesus. And he said, I don't want to hear about your Jesus. He said, I ain't got time for your Jesus. He said, you don't have time for Jesus? One day Jesus had no time for you. And that preached to me. Listen, you got to listen to God. Don't listen to me. Listen to God. And I think God is such an amazing God that he can speak in so many different ways. And oftentimes we don't hear any of it because we got all these other voices in our world. Scripture says this, I meditate. Everybody say meditate. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. And you've heard us talk about meditate here. The word meditate is like what a cow does to the cud, right? The cow chews some grass and swallow it. And he regurgitates it back up into his mouth again and chew it a little while longer. It's nasty. It's gross sounding. It's swallowed again. And what they're doing is they're milking the nutrients out of that grass. And it's this repetition of that. And when he says meditate on my word, he's saying to, it's ruminate is the word. That's another bad word. It's a big word. But it's just chew it and swallow it and bring it up and chew it and swallow it and bring it up again. He said, I don't understand it. Well, just chew it one more time and swallow it and listen. I don't know how to pray. This is something we need to address. When we have a lot of people on our prayer team, we need to address the fact that everybody needs to be praying. Guys, come on. You say, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? Speak to your Father. Spend time. Listen to his voice. Don't just talk to him. Let him talk to you. And you say, you believe he talks to me? Absolutely he does. In many, many ways. The focus is always on Jesus. I'm telling you, allow God to speak into your life. And then I want to say this, not just talk to, in listening to the right voices, you need to listen to the voices that God's put around you as his family and his people. You've heard us say over and over again, God forgives, but healing takes place when you confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. And you're wondering why that sin's got you so tight. It's because you haven't told anybody about it. And you need to talk to somebody. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to come down here and tell everybody, but you need to tell somebody so that you can do the last thing, and that is to trust the source of life. Trust the source of life. I want to invite my worship team. You guys come on up, man. Can I just say to you that the book of Psalms is a great book on burnout? You say, I thought it was a worship book. And it is. It is. It's the biggest book in the Bible, and it's a book of worship. Really, it's about how to pour forth your life in loving God. And I love how the psalmist writers write. It's real. It's raw. It's like in-your-face kind of writing. And he says in Psalm 61, 1 to 4, he says this, O God, please listen to my cry. And you may have prayed that prayer and didn't pray it exactly like that, but you prayed it. Oh God, I need it. Hear me, Lord. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. He didn't say if my heart gets overwhelmed, but when it does. It's coming, and it may not hit you in a moment. It may be over time, like we've talked about, and you may be in that place where you're so burned out right now, you don't even know how to do what I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking you to do it beyond what you feel. Just take a step into it. And literally begin to read this psalm over and over again. I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. He didn't say might not. He said cannot. I want to be in a place where my enemies can't touch me. And he's praying this prayer. Let me live forever, ever in your sanctuary, safe. And I love this picture, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. It's awesome how little children kind of know where that is, right? They can just run and be safe in mama's or daddy's or papa's or grandmother's home. And
we know where to go, and oftentimes we just let it be the last resort, that God's the last thing we cry out to. We wait till everything is all exhausted, and we walk out of the hospital room and go, well, I guess all we got left is prayer. All you ever had was prayer. Really? You see, the enemy is going to whisper to you in burnout that you just don't have what it takes. That you can't make it any further than you've already made it. And he's going to tell you that your relationship is shot, that you'll never get trust back for those people again. He's going to whisper stuff like this. You can't trust those Christian people. You know how they are. They're so judgmental. And in burnout, you tend to listen to those things and take them in. I want to tell you something. I feel like that oftentimes pain is what it takes. And I think it's God's sometimes his motivation to get us out of where we were to where he wants us to be. You could call that fair or unfair or whatever it is, but there's something about going through a difficult time that makes us cry out to God. And when we get into an easy time in our life, we tend to forget to pray. And he's saying, I want you to trust me. Can you just imagine the God of the universe, the one who created all this thing, who spoke it into existence? Can you just imagine for a moment him standing over here in the corner? We're just going to go with it. He's omnipresent and invisible and all this. We're going to just imagine him standing over in a corner, and he's just waiting on you to make a move. He's just waiting on me to stop whining and stop complaining and stop worrying and just walk over there and just say, God, I got to give it all to you. He's just waiting. Come on, prayer team. Y'all come on, stand up here. Y'all stand around. It's our prayer team today. And these people are here for you. They're not anything special except God has saved them and they've been called to prayer ministry. And I want to ask the guys to go to the guys and girls to go to the girls. If you have a something in your life, you just need to get it out right now. And you can just say it to them. I promise you, it'll stay right here. It's not going anywhere. I'm telling you, it's time to trust the source of life to the point that you're ready to confess it and get it out and get it out here so the enemy has no more control over. Y'all ought to be more excited about that than you are. I'm telling y'all, this is a freedom like, it's a freedom like you can't imagine. It cost Jesus his life. Cost him everything. And it's free to you just to take. Just accept him. Maybe you've never done that and you need to do that. You need to say, I believe Jesus is Lord. I want to make him Lord of my life. You need to assent to that. You need to assent. You need to confess that out loud to somebody. Because when you start doing that, the enemy begins to run. He can't be where Jesus is. Aren't y'all glad? You just cry out Jesus and he's got to run. He don't have a choice. He don't have a choice. He's been defeated. He has been defeated. And I'm telling you, when you reach out and you just say, I want to give it up, I want to give it up, I want to give it up, and you just confess it out loud, then the enemy has no more control over your life with that particular thing. And I want to tell you, it's freedom like you could never imagine. I want you to know that you are not enough. You're not in and of yourself. But with God, he's literally all you need. Because at the end of the day, at the end of time, you're not going to stand in front of God and have any kind of ability to say, look what I did. You're going to point to Jesus and say, look what he did. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And that's going to be the focus. Why not do that now? Why not today? If you've never submitted to water baptism, submit to it today. We don't have our baptistry yet. We're going to get one, but let's just submit to that and say, you know, I want to give this up. I want to give in. I want to submit myself to water baptism. It's literally a picture of you dying, being buried, and being raised to walk a brand new life. Some of you said, I'm just going to keep on doing what I got to do in my life, and you've never repented. You've never changed your life and repented of your sins and walked away from the things that you've been doing. You need to do that today. today. And so all these people with name tags, all the name tag people here, you come down and pray. We're going to stand. I want you to stand with me. Will you stand? We're going to sing a little bit of music here. We're going to just, I don't even know what the words are going to be, but I think I do, but I'm not sure. But Micah's going to lead us, and we're going to worship. And during this worship time, I'm going to encourage you to give your life over to Jesus if you never have.
You are the everlasting God. You're the everlasting God. You do not fail. You
Some of you are trying to lift yourself up. Stop it. Let him lift you up. He's the everlasting God. Not you. Not your world. Not your job. Nothing is. Your spouse cannot complete you. Only God can. And I'm going to tell you, you and your spouse going toward God is an invincible force that you can, that the devil can't reckon with. He can't. He can't stop it. He can't stop it. You say, well, I'm alone. I don't have anybody. No, you're not. You have your church family. You have us. You have each other. You have this family here. You say, if you feel alone, I'm asking you right now just to confess it out loud. I am not alone. I've got God's family all around me in this room, and I'm going to get to know who they are. We're here for you. We're here for you. We mean it. We truly mean it. This is not a game. This is not a joke. This is not an emotional time just to pull things out of you. This is a moment in time that you may never get again, and I'm asking you just to give it. You don't even have to come talk to these people. Just right there where you are, say, hey, I want to just give it up to God. In fact, I want to just pray with me right now if you want to. It's okay to pray out loud. Father, I love you. I give my life to you. I surrender everything to you. I surrender my job. I surrender my children. I surrender my marriage. Father, I surrender my church. In Jesus' name. And maybe you need to list something else in that list. I don't know. But give it up, because when you surrender, you're in a perfect place for God to be who he can be in your life. And I promise you, it's not a place you ever want to run from. He is the everlasting God. Voices.
The everlasting God. Oh, you do not fail. You won't go weak.
You're the defender of the weak.
You're the defender of the weak. Oh, you comfort those.
That's me. I'm in need, Father. Lifting me up, Lord. There's still opportunity. Still opportunity for you to pray. Even when we finish today, our prayer team will hang out. We'll hang out down here for a little bit. And during that time, if you want to pray, we'd love to pray with you and for you. Can we just give God a hand clap of praise? Come on, y'all. Oh, we love you, Lord. Come on, give him your best. Come on, we love you, God. You're the best. You're the best. You're the only God, the only true and living God. We're going to be dismissed in a moment, but I hope that you guys, as you leave today, well, man, just fellowship with each other. Hang out, spend some time with us. If you're new here today, please don't leave too quickly. We'd love to get to know you. Come, I'll be down here if you want to come meet me. I'm nothing other than just old. I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy. Just a guy. But I'd love to meet you. And my wife over here, we'd love to talk to you. God is good. Amen. Amen. I don't really want to leave. Are we going?
Why not?
Let's just come on. We're going to end up with a storm.
The greatness of our God. Sing, you are.
You guys have a great day. Don't forget to tithe as you go out. Partners only. Our visitors, we don't expect to love you, but everybody else, put some money in a box, all right? I'm picking at you a little bit. I'm mentioning today, like I said earlier, because we forgot to last week. But I love you guys. Have a great, 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 great rest of your week.